Welcome to the Building Better podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Eterbity. As a board-certified nurse coach, I'm passionate about helping others stop struggling and start succeeding. Here, I share my experiences as an operating room nurse, a former wife, and a mother of three in an effort to create connections and help you build something better. Hello, everybody, and welcome to 2024. I hope that this year is starting off to be a happy and healthy one for you. I know that the holidays were very busy for us as a family. We were very lucky to have our kids home, and we did a little bit of traveling down to Cabo San Lucas and came back well-rested and full of energy for this new year. So today I want to talk about something that has been coming up a lot, not just for myself, but especially for clients, whether they be for the moms I work with or the healthcare workers, but it's the concept of guilt. So guilt itself is defined as the fact of having committed or specified or implied offense or crime. A secondary definition is a feeling of having done wrong or failed in an obligation. So when we think of ourselves as moms, we often feel guilty because we think we're failing in a certain area. So we set these really, really high expectations. And a lot of this spills over from prior generations. So our moms, or probably even our grandparents, we're in a society in which a lot of moms stayed at home and they took care of the house. They took care of the kids, handled the cleaning, coordinating everything that was part of the household. And oftentimes the husband or the father was the one that went out and worked. And now I think we as moms try to take on both roles of going out and having careers and leading full lives and being breadwinners and providers from a financial aspect. But we still carry the burden of trying to come home and be everything to everyone. And this kind of sabotages us because it's really, really hard to wear both of those hats successfully while still performing self-care and caring for your wants and your needs. So we need to first talk about why we feel guilty. And this ties to the standards or expectations that we set for ourselves. So if we think that we can go out and work a 40 or 50 hour work week, be very successful at our jobs, be the yes person, always taking on more activities and more obligations and tasks because we want to help out at work and we want to be seen as strong and capable, but then that leads to us setting an even higher standard so that in the future, when someone comes and says, oh, can you do this one last minute project? Or can you stay late? Or can you pick up an extra shift of call? We've now started to identify ourselves as this superhero that we can just take on more and more and more. And we haven't been practicing healthy habits in setting boundaries and saying no. So we start to think, okay, well, I can't say no because I don't want to offend someone else. I don't want to let them down. I don't want to not be seen as that superhero and someone that people can go to and rely on. And then we leave those jobs and we come home and our kids may want time, attention. They may ask for us to bake cookies for a bake sale that they forgot to tell you about that's happening tomorrow. Or they may suddenly remember that they have a book report that's due in 2 days and it's a diorama and they need paint and clay and glue and all these other things. And it puts this added strain on us because we don't want to disappoint them. We've set really, really high standards for us as moms. And because we have this expectation of always being able to fulfill everyone else's wants and needs, then we begin to sacrifice our own at home. So when your kids suddenly say, hey, I need to go to the store, I need your help with all of these different things, now you're once again needing to compromise yourself. So maybe you don't go to the gym that night, or maybe you don't practice your meditation, or you opt for a bowl of cereal instead of making that really healthy, nutritious salad that you had planned on doing. So once again, it all circles back to what we're defining as a successful mom or a successful healthcare provider and being able to meet those expectations without sacrificing ourselves. And since we don't want to disappoint the people we work with and we don't want to disappoint our families, it's easier to give and sacrifice of ourselves because we don't want to cause other people discomfort or disappointment or pain. That's part of who we are as caregivers. So now we start feeling guilty when we either don't give the same time and attention that is expected of us at work, or we're not giving the same time and attention to our families that we feel that they deserve. I know for me, I would often stay late because of open heart cases, or I would get called in and I would miss opportunities to be with my kids. And it seemed very small at the time, whether it be a parent-teacher conference or maybe a spring sing or a dance recital, seemingly small things that in the big picture we don't think matter. But later on, as a mom, when those opportunities are gone, you suddenly realize that if we really hadn't been at work, no one would have noticed. It would have carried on. I thought the end of the world would happen if I wasn't there to manage my heart team and if I wasn't present for each case. And part of it was is that I really, really wanted to see the program succeed, and I didn't want to put that burden on other people of having to manage the room or know where supplies were. But ultimately, when I left my first open heart team, the team continued. The program continued. And yes, it's changed, but it wasn't the end of the world. And I now realize that there were so many opportunities that I missed out with my kids solely because I hadn't worked on building that voice. I hadn't developed a way to feel confident in who I was, and more importantly, who I wanted to be, that I could set those healthy boundaries and maintain them. So something that I see often is that our society puts a lot of pressure on always winning, always succeeding, always being happy, always, you know, doing the next fun thing. There's never any posts or advertisements or movies about the value in suffering, in the value of discomfort. And how much better would we be as a species if we all had the tools and resources and support systems and skills to be able to cope with moments of discomfort? Not only do we learn life's greatest lessons here, but we would be less likely to pressure other people into performing in certain ways, into looking for shortcuts, or to sacrificing ourselves if we were okay with things not being okay. So the example I'd like to give you is, let's say you're at work and someone comes to you and they tell you that they need you to stay late. And two things happen here. One, you want to be reflected on as being a valuable employee, but you also don't want to disappoint that person who's asking you for this favor. So when we say no, we feel like we are inflicting pain or discomfort or being a burden on that person. And that person who's asking that favor can oftentimes impact the situation. So if a supervisor is saying, can you please cover this shift? Now the question becomes, is it mandated? Is there pressure from leadership to the point where they're desperate to get that coverage? Or are they being empowered to be able to recognize when they are asking too much of their employees and putting them in a situation where they're jeopardizing their health and wellness? Because any organization that is exploiting their workers in order to meet the bottom line is going to suffer in the long run. They will have lower retention rates. They will have lower job satisfaction. And it makes it even harder to recruit people and get them to stay when you have a culture like that. Now, twofold, it doesn't always have to be that you're saying no because you have an obligation for your family or because you already have a doctor's appointment. It's okay to say no and uphold your boundaries because you are committed to your health and wellness, because you recognize that you've already been working for 8 or 10 or 12 hours and that you are not going to be a safe provider for that patient that needs care. And the more often that we continue to use ourselves as the bandage, we are reinforcing this practice of exploiting the employees and using them to be the solution to the problems instead of saying, wow, we really do need to hire more staff. or we need to adjust the hours and the schedules for the staff to make sure that we have coverage in the evenings. So if you can always cover it with asking someone to stay late or take call, then management doesn't know that there's a problem that needs to be fixed. And twofold, with our family, as moms, it's really easy that anytime something pops up for our kids, that we sacrifice ourselves and we feel guilty because we don't want our kids to be disappointed. I've talked about it before, adopting the verbiage in our family of wants versus needs, and my oldest daughter calling me from a sleepover and telling me that she was on the way to the mall and she needed me to bring her wallet to her. However, I needed to go to the gym to maintain my health and wellness and help me progress towards my goals of losing weight and relieving stress. She wanted me to bring her her wallet. And it was tough as a mom because you don't want your kids to be disappointed. And it's really easy to always give in because we want them to avoid that emotion. However, it really, really is a disservice because in the long run, there's going to come a time when someone disappoints her and I will have robbed her of the opportunity to develop the coping skills with me while she's an adolescent and learn how to sit with that discomfort. It's okay to be disappointed. My son in high school had applied and interviewed to become the battalion commander for the Reno High JROTC battalion, and he didn't get it. And while he was really disappointed that he wasn't going to get that opportunity, it was a chance for me to sit with him in that discomfort, to discuss his emotions, to explore why he felt the way he did and what he was mourning, because he was mourning a loss. He had a vision for what his senior year was going to look like, and that was no longer going to come to fruition. But after we worked through what he was grieving, we were able to then transform that experience into gratitude. The year before, the battalion commander had been on the rifle team with my son and ended up having to quit rifle team because of the demands of being battalion commander. And my son's senior year, he went to nationals and he shot 11th in the nation. And he would probably have not had that opportunity had he been selected to become the battalion commander. And so I really hope that that particular situation will give him some of the skills he's going to need in the future when he interviews for a job and he doesn't get it. Or if he is bidding on a home and they don't accept his offer. Whatever those moments are that happen and you feel that disappointment inside, you can look back at other times that you have had similar experiences and be able to rely on those coping skills in healthy ways and then find gratitude for other opportunities that may then be available. So now we've talked about guilt and what it is and where it comes from. And when we set expectations for who we should be as a healthcare provider or as a parent or as a spouse, we are creating this bar that we continually try to reach for. And if we are unable to do that on a regular basis, we erode our self-esteem, because we don't feel like we are making the mark and we're sending ourselves this message that we're not enough, we're not good enough. And the more we erode our self-esteem, the easier it is for us to continue to give in to other people's wants and needs. So now we have these scenarios, whether you're a mom or a healthcare provider, in which you've set unrealistic expectations, oftentimes because it's what we think other people want us to be, and we're unable to meet those marks. And the more that you set goals and you're not able to achieve them, it begins to erode your self-esteem. There's a voice that inevitably begins to tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you don't love them enough. And as that erodes your self-esteem, it makes it easier and easier to no longer uphold any boundaries. You can be exploited. You can be taken advantage of. You always say yes because now you don't think that you're worthy of time off. You don't think that you are worthy of going to the gym or having a healthy dinner or making time so that you can take care of yourself. You think that you have to keep giving to other people in an effort to attain their approval and their respect and their love. Now, when clients move from this position of seeing one area in which they may have quote unquote failed at a task, going back to the definition of guilt, it means that we feel that we have failed an obligation. So someone asks you to stay late, or one of your kids asks you to bake brownies for that bake sale tomorrow, and we say no. And now we feel, oh, I did something wrong. I wasn't the perfect healthcare provider. I wasn't the perfect mom. When we move into that area in which we're eroding our self-esteem, we've shifted from guilt to shame. Guilt is saying that I did something wrong. Shame is a feeling that there is something wrong with us. So it's no longer about one particular instance. It's feeling that we are not enough on a daily basis. And this isn't a concept that only applies to moms and healthcare providers. I see this same unfolding with the adolescents I work with, especially in the 10 to 13 year old range. And the reason being is that when they move from elementary school, where they have had a consistent program for 5 or 6 years, and now, and they're used to having one teacher. And when they shift to a middle school atmosphere in which they have multiple teachers, they're now being challenged to do more than they had to do in the past. And it's a pivotal time. It's very important to help them so that they can position themselves for success. Because at first, the kids will think, I can't do this. It's really hard. And then the more that this happens, the more it's repetitive, they begin to get the message, not that they did something wrong, but that there's something wrong with them, that they're not able to keep up with their classmates, or that they're not able to pull the workload that's being asked of them. And so as their self-esteem suffers, that's where we really start to see them struggle. And oftentimes personal hygiene starts to fade. They struggle to have proper intake for nutrition. It's also the time that they hit puberty. So they have a lot of growth in their bodies. It's requiring more energy and more nutrients than they needed before. So they sleep more. And then they're being labeled as quote unquote lazy because they're not getting up early enough for school. So imagine that you're 12 years old, 13 years old, and you get back a test in a subject that you're not strong in. And the first time you get a C or a D and you think, ugh, I messed up. I did something wrong. I didn't study. And then it happens again and again and again. And maybe there's other classmates that aren't seeing those grades. Maybe they're getting B's and A's and they don't have to study the same way. And so that child starts to internalize that, and it moves from guilt of not performing at a certain level to this feeling of shame because they believe that there's something wrong with them. So you might be asking yourself now, How do we prevent this? How do we stop this? How do we develop skills so that we can cope with guilt and shame in those moments that we feel it? So the first thing that I suggest for a lot of people, if you are already at the stage of shame in which you feel that like you're not good enough, that there's something wrong with you, is to really talk about it. And the reason I say that is because shame is very isolating and it's lived out in private. When we are with other people and we talk about mistakes, it sheds light on those mistakes and we don't feel alone anymore. And if we share it with the right people that we trust and we know that we can be vulnerable with them, they will offer the support. So even if a mistake was made and that person may feel guilt, we can help prevent it from moving into that area of shame and impacting self-esteem. Now, as far as guilt itself, we all make mistakes and we do feel guilty. And the first thing I like to talk about with guilt is when we make a mistake, it's a learning opportunity. So instead of thinking I did something wrong, if you change the storyline with that to I found an opportunity to learn and grow, it changes its ability to impact our self-esteem. And so I have made mistakes. I've made mistakes as a mom. I've made mistakes as a nurse. And In the beginning, when I made a mistake as a nurse, I hid from it. And I didn't want anyone else to know about it because I was embarrassed. And I thought that other people wouldn't respect me or trust me. And as I moved through my career, I realized that it was not only an opportunity when mistakes were committed for me to learn and grow, but it was an opportunity for my staff to learn and grow. And so I did have a med error, and it was very scary, and it could have compromised my patient in a horrible way. And luckily, when it came to light, I had a very skilled team that was there to help care for the patient, and there was no adverse outcome. But knowing that I would live that out in a shameful place of isolation, I instead chose to immediately go and share my experience with my team and take steps to change protocols and procedures to make sure it wouldn't happen again in the future. And it enabled me to see that as an opportunity to make it safer in the future. And any time that I started down that spiral of, I made a mistake, I'm not a good provider, I reminded myself that every single healthcare provider makes mistakes. Every mom makes mistakes. Every human being on this planet makes mistakes. The value in it is how we handle the aftermath. Are we going to hide from it? Are we going to cover it up? Or are we going to bring it to light and use it to grow and change? So in all of these scenarios, this is already when you feel guilt or when you feel shame, and it's trying to kind of backpedal and reverse what's already been happening. But how do we prevent it in the future? This week, I'm sharing a bunch of posts on Facebook that talk about goals and how having written goals and a plan drastically impact your success rate. And the same applies for upholding healthy boundaries. So for me, I am so clear on what my purpose is and what my goals are as a healthcare provider, a nurse coach, a mother, a partner, and a friend that I seemingly have a roadmap. I have a compass that I can use. And when I am faced with any sort of question about, can you take another shift? Can you make this meeting? Can you do one more activity or task or obligation? I can look at my map and see if that aligns with the journey that I'm on. And I have absolutely zero guilt in saying no to someone. And prior to having a crystal clear vision of who I wanted to be and what I wanted my life to look like, it was very easy to say yes to everyone else. So here's an activity that not only do I do with myself, but I do with my kids, and I will use this as a homework assignment with my clients. If you are struggling with feelings of guilt in which you are not living up to your obligations or your expectations, the first part of the assignment is to write down the scenario or the situation in which you feel guilt. So let's say you're a mom and your kids ask you if they can go to one of the jump places and you can't because you have laundry. And you feel guilty because they've been cooped up in the house over winter break the last 2 weeks and you really wish that you could do that for them, but you have to get this laundry done because you haven't done laundry in 10 days. And then maybe there's a circumstance in which work asks you to pick up another shift of call, or they're asking you to stay late and you want to say either no because you want to go home to your family and you feel guilty for saying no, or you might say yes to that shift, but then you feel guilty because now you're not able to pick up your kids or you're not able to attend an event for them. And so that guilt can happen in both directions, where saying no to one person and saying yes to another causes conflict in either direction. So you make this list and you're keeping track of these moments in which you feel guilt. And then after a week, I want you to go back and look at what the story is attached to that. So in one scenario, maybe it's not about the laundry or taking the kids to the jump activity, but it's feeling that maybe you feel like you're not good at time management. Or maybe you're telling yourself a story that you're worried your kids don't think that you're a good mom. Or maybe you're not as good as somebody else's mom because they are taking them to the jump place. And I want you to look at the story you tell yourself as to why you feel guilty about that situation. And then after you write down what the story is, I want you to think about how you could change that story. How you could change and shift your perspective on that moment where it would uphold what is most important to you. So instead of saying I'm a bad mom because I'm doing laundry instead of taking my kids to the jump place, instead we phrase that as I am providing clean clothes for my kids and showing them the value and importance of performing our chores so that we can then go out and have fun as a family at a later time, or so that I can alleviate this stress and sleep better tonight because I've been worried about this laundry for the last 3 days. For work, instead of feeling like I'm not as good as other healthcare workers because they seemingly can always say yes to taking on more call or taking another shift, instead say, I am a really good healthcare worker. And I maintain a work-life balance so that when I am at work, I am able to give 100% of myself to my patients and my coworkers. So when you flip that story and change the perspective from one of not meeting other people's expectations or what we believe to be their expectations, and instead we are reinforcing that we are doing what is right for us and for our family, it helps to build our self-esteem. We begin to respect ourselves more and we can silence that guilt. And instead, we are really proud of ourselves. We are so happy that we are taking care of ourselves, not just as a mom and a healthcare provider, but as a human being. We are showing ourselves love and affection and respect and attention. And every single person out there deserves all of that. I hope this episode was informative and helpful to you. If you did get something out of this episode, please, please, please consider sharing it with other moms and other healthcare providers. I don't do this for money. I do this because this is my passion and it's my purpose in life, is to help others build better versions of themselves, their families, their communities, and their operating rooms. I am wishing you a healthy and happy new year and look forward to connecting with you during the next episode. Thanks. Thank you for joining me today. I am honored to connect with you and grateful for the opportunity to be of service. If you have a comment, question, or an idea for the show, please send a message through Instagram, Facebook, and my website, buildingbettercoaching.com. Please take a moment to share this with other healthcare workers, moms, and parents looking to support their kids. I've been called to help people stop struggling and start succeeding, and it's listeners like you that help me fulfill my purpose. Thank you.